Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
With me now is one of the world's fastest women on the water. Her name is Alison Shreve. She's an elite windsurfer, currently ranked number one in the world in formula windsurfing. At just 27 years of age, she has won a list of international competitions as long as your arm. That's including four world titles, a world speed title, an Australian Female Sailor of the Year award. She's also a TV presenter, a motivational speaker. She's also a committed and passionate Christian as well. Alison, welcome to Open House.
Hi, Sheridan. How are you?
Fascinating little life you've had, isn't it?
It is a little bit.
When did you first take to this sport of water, of windsurfing?
I chose it as a school sport when I was 15. And
what kind of school did you go to that actually offered that as a school sport?
Well, I grew up in Port Macquarie, and I played 11 sports for my school. And one day I chose windsurfing or sailing as a school sport and went down to the river and tried windsurfing as part of the sailing program. And my first coach, Mark Jordan, saw potential and said, why don't you come down on the weekend and I'll teach you for free? And so that's how I got started with it.
To teach you for free, and now you're leading the world. It's a beautiful story.
Yeah, well, I guess the passion from it came from, you know, the athletics track was always the same, and I didn't enjoy team sports as much as singular sports because, one, you had to rely on your teammates to always be performing at their best, and also to, you know, people let you down, but also with the individual sports, what you put into it, you also get out of it. So windsurfing really came natural to me because I was naturally strong and I had good balance. And, yeah, I excelled quite quickly.
So how old were you when you first took to it?
16.
16, all right. So it's one thing for it to be a hobby or a sport. It's another thing to say, I think I might even focus my life on this area. When did that come?
Well, 7 months after I first started windsurfing, I qualified for the Youth World Championships in South Africa. And this got me into the Australian sailing team in the youth squad. So that sort of got me into the racing scene quite early, which naturally progressed into campaigning for the Olympics. And so when I turned 17, I moved to Sydney for university and started studying civil engineering, but I still continued my
civil
sport.
Engineer, all right.
Yeah. So I started continuing my sport with that. And within 2 years, I was ranked fourth in the world and just sort of, I guess I climbed the rank of the sport
rapidly.
Very quickly because I put a lot of training in and spent a lot of time overseas thanks to my parents got to the top.
So you had to move overseas to train properly?
No, I would spend between 6 and 8 or 10 months of the year traveling and competing. I pretty much have an endless summer, so I have the summer months of Australia here, yeah. And then I go overseas around April and do the European tour, and I stay over there because it's so expensive to come back and forth between events.
Mm. Can you earn a living from professional sport like that, or is it only when you win and you get some sort of prize money?
For me, my windsurfing is really a faith mission.
That's a nice way to put it.
Well, it is, and I continually have to trust God for my finances. I know that there have been many times where I have just said to God, look, I don't have any money, but you will have to provide a way. For instance, last year, unfortunately, we became homeless and we had to put everything into storage, and we moved into our auntie's house, and within a week, you know, I had a head-on car accident. My mum came down with pneumonia and my little sister, she even ran away from home. So we had all these horrible things happen at once, and then I'm supposed to go overseas at the end of this week. And I'm feeling at this stage, and I just said to God, look, I don't understand what's going on, and I feel a responsibility to stay and help my family somehow. But I said, God, if it's your will for me to go overseas, you need to provide a way because I can't afford this. And and so I didn't let my circumstances dictate what was happening, and I went. And it was amazing. He provided everywhere I went. I didn't have to pay for any accommodation for the 6 weeks. I got picked up from every airport. I didn't have to pay for one entry fee, and I won every race.
Oh.
So, you know, it's continually God. And even now, you know, I'm planning to go to Europe in 2 weeks' time. For some reason, God likes to keep me in this place where I'm totally and utterly dependent on him for everything. And again, you know, I'm at zero, you know, and God's saying, you know, go overseas. So somehow miraculously he'll bring the finances along for me to go and buy the equipment that I need and do the next part of the tour.
Boy, he stretches us, doesn't he? He really stretches us.
He does. And for me, I find he stretches me more and more every year. And I think that that's what helps us grow and become better people and grow our muscle faith,
isn't it? It's actually you stretch it. You actually rip it a little bit and then it actually builds. That's how muscle grows in the body.
But you do need recovery time.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. This is our open house right across the nation. Alison Shreve is with us. The world leading windsurfing champion. So, how many awards actually do you have? Have you lost count?
I do have a lot of trophies at home. I've done well. I have 4 world titles and a world speed record. But for me, the titles don't mean as much to me as, say, bringing someone to the Lord. You know, I think, maybe in the beginning there was a little bit of, you know, wanting to achieve my goals and that kind of stuff. But for me, getting to that point or that position in my sport where I am at the top has always been something that I've been aiming for, so I could step off that maybe into a ministry or into a place where I could be a good role model for kids. At the end of the day, the trophies don't make you happy. You know, it's who you are. And I've found that the journey has been a wonderful experience, and I've been able to travel to over 40 countries in the world, and the things that God has shown me on the way and the things that he has developed in me have made me such a better person for it, and I'm finding that I'm able to help a lot of people because of what I've gone through, and I would really like to continue doing that.
So how are you helping people? I mean, what's happening, you know, back on terra firma?
I've got a few things in the works. I have a little local ministry with some friends of mine at church. We go out on Tuesday night and we pray for people, and we've seen some miraculous things happen. We had a guy with 80% deafness in his right ear and bang, totally healed, and quite an amazing story. And you know, continually every week we see stuff like this happen. And look, I don't limit God to what he can do. And he said that we will see greater things than these happen. And because his spirit is in us, we have access to his power. So I like to go out and pray for people. That's something that I do. I'm also involved with the Jesus All About Life campaign. Mm-hmm. So I'm advocating that at the moment. It's coming up in the next few months. So hopefully...
TV campaign in Sydney. Later on, it's going to be in Perth.
15th of September till October. But it's a fantastic campaign. It's just encouraging everyday Christians to get out there and share their faith. And also that churches would join together and unite. I think we have about 1,050 churches joined already, and we want to get about 1,500 churches joined. So hopefully if your church isn't involved yet, that you encourage your pastors to get onto that. But that's interesting. And Motivational Media just interviewed me for a new package for schools next year. So my testimony is going to be used for that next year.
And what about with, the fellow windsurfers are actually competing in that? Would you get opportunities to sit down and have a natter to them?
Yeah, I've found over the years that... look, I don't really Bible bash people. I just let my life be an example. So as much as I can, I will encourage them and talk to them. I think last year was quite difficult for me because I shared a room with a girl that beat me for the world title by 1 point. So that was a big grace growing experience, or a humbling experience. But I helped her get fast a couple of years ago. She was my training partner, and I taught her how to sail fast so I could test my own gear. Yeah. So that was quite amazing for me to lose to her by 1 point. But I do try to talk to them as much as I can about God or encourage them. You know, quite often someone might have a breakup with a relationship and then I can help. But I find that my ministry as such is more just whoever I'm talking to, if I'm on a plane or on a train or just traveling, or if I'm sitting in a queue somewhere, I'll just talk to them.
Bit of an evangelist at heart, aren't you?
Yeah, I do have that you know, God's heart for that.
I think so. Now, tell me about this goal that you have to windsurf across Bass Strait.
Well, this was something that I've been wanting to do for a long time. And last year in November, Coast Care came to me and asked me to be an ambassador for the Life on the Edge campaign. And so I said, okay, what's involved? And they said, well, we want to circumnavigate Australia with challenges and get everyday Australians to get out there and do a 100K challenge of non-motorised activity to raise money for Coast Care initiatives. And so I said, cool, I can go from Tasmania up to the mainland Australia, link the two, and on my windsurfer. So in March this year, I set out for the 240 kilometres across Bass Strait, And it was an incredible experience. I didn't make it, unfortunately. The weather conditions got too rough and I had 4 meter swells with 35 knot winds and a massive sail. So I was fighting out there in the ocean for a good 9 hours.
That must really take it out on you physically. I mean, because you're holding on with all of this kind of... I mean, what kind of duration are we talking about here that it would normally take you to get...
Well, I was hoping it would take around 9 hours to get across, but...
How many breaks?
Well, hopefully not many, maybe 4 breaks just for a couple of minutes and just keep going.
So I am not going to arm wrestle you, Alison, because you'd be holding on to that, you know, with all this wind behind you for hours at a time. I mean, your arms just must get totally...
Yeah, but my legs really got a thrashing because you've got to take every single wave with your legs. And so you can, in a sense, give your arms a rest because we have a harness. So our lower back and our legs really take a thrashing. And another thing that happened to me on that challenge was I got really severe leg cramps and they got so bad that I tried to stretch my quad and my hammy cramp, and then I'd try and stretch my hammy and my quad cramp, and then I'd try and up all my sail again and my calves would go, and so I was in a lot of pain for a long time trying to, you know, fight with my gear, get up, and also get my body to overcome the pain that it was in so I could continue. And in the end we had to stop because I had come down with a mild case of hypothermia, and we realized at that time that I wouldn't make it to the shore before dark, and you know I was really fatigued. So I had done my 100 kilometers for Coast K, which I'm really proud of, and it was the first thing that it was the first time any woman had ever tried such a challenge, so I'm really proud of the effort, and hopefully I'll get to do it again maybe next summer.
Yeah, you will try again.
Yeah, look, it's on the cards. I don't like to let anything beat me, but look, you know, if God tells me to go and do something else, I'll be doing that. But at this stage I would love to try again, and hopefully with the right support and the right sponsors and a boat that can keep up with me, it would be a great thing to do.
The boat didn't keep up with you last time?
Look, I have wonderful sponsors, but unfortunately the support boat that I had to wait for him quite a lot, because he could only do about 18 to 20 knots in those sort of conditions, and I could easily do 25 knots. So I actually got a blister on my thumb after about an hour just from sheeting out, from slowing down so long, so much to go the angle that he had to go. Not that it mattered, because I knew he could get across and I needed a boat with me, and I was fortunate enough to find a boat sponsor, but next time I'll definitely need something a bit more gutsy.
It's funny, isn't it? You know, I've got to find a boat that's going to keep up with me.
Yeah.
I think that's beautiful. So you're off to Europe to go and win back the world title.
Yes, it's my plan to go in about 2 weeks' time. And I'm going to start with the European Championships
and
in
Poland.
And
win back the world title, because you've already had it before.
Yeah, I won 4 world titles in a row. And then last year I lost by 1 point. So I'm
hoping to get it back this year.
The
1 pointer, yeah.
Yeah.
And you're not sharing with her anymore, are you?
Actually, I'll be sharing with her at the Europeans.
Hell yeah.
But look, you know, that's the nature of our sport. You know, the women, we don't earn much money on tour. If even when I won every race, it wouldn't even pay for the event or to go to the event, and it's very expensive to travel with 150 kilos with excess baggage and all that, and at times, you know, I've slept in my car or whatever I've needed to do to survive, but you know what, I have a really comfortable bed in my car, so I'm not so upset about that. But it, you know, I think I'm doing what I believe God wants me to do, and if that's what I have to do to achieve those goals, then I'll do it. You know, maybe one day, you know, someone will step up and say, we want to support an Aussie windsurfer and get out there. But, you know, at this stage,
then
I'm
your faith won't be stretched as much.
But it will, you know. Actually, sometimes I say to God, you know, God, don't you trust me to give me the money early so I can, you know, pay for things in advance and not at the last second? But, yeah, I think he did say to me, well, then you wouldn't, you know, give me all the glory as much and all that sort of stuff. So,
you probably would give it to him in another way.
Yeah,
well, fascinating to talk to you. Thanks for coming in, and all the best with the world title again too. Yeah,
Thank
just amazing
you.
The sacrifices you're giving, you know, to actually do the sport, and it's not just because you're doing the sport, but as you said, you know, this is actually what you believe God wants you to do.
Yeah. I love my sport, and I love just, you know, being where God wants me to be, and to be able to, you know, impart something into people's lives. And I hope that I can continue this for a while. So thank you very much for having me. And if people want to follow me, they can go to aus911.com
Oz 911.
Yep, that's my sound number, if people are wondering. Or alisonshreve.com, whatever you want.
Okay. Yeah. I was thinking, oh, what's the September 11 got to do with
Nothing. I had that number 10 years before. But
right before that event. 9/11 happened. Okay. Yep. Oz911.com. Okay, Alison, thanks.
Thank you.
Great to talk to you. Alison Shreve, the world leader, and certainly to just about to become the world champ again, we believe, in windsurfing worldwide.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.